Born on this day back in 1947, the man playing the guitar, Jim Fuller, from the Surfaris. Not the Safaris, the Surfaris. Number two in 1963 with Wipeout. Jim Fuller, known as the godfather of surf music, his Fender guitar. He died in March of 2017 at the age of 69 years old. This is Wipeout from the Surfaris. Jim Fuller, born on this day back in 1947. And as you know, when I'm in for Steve, we dig into the world of music. Birthdays, death days, anniversaries, number one on this days, etc. Music a big part of my life. I love it. You can check out the podcast, too. Political Beats from National Review that I co-host. The Beach Boys, part one, out this week. Matt Welch from Reason talking with us about the Beach Boys from inception all the way up through Pet Sounds. And part two should be released just after the week after Independence Day. I think July 8th or so. I cannot believe we are nearly in July, for goodness sake. The older I get, the faster these summers go. It has nothing to do with faster the years go. Nothing to do with the fact I have kids home from school now. We just got the note yesterday. I think my son's first day back at school is August 21st, August 20th, something along those lines. In another month and a half at home. Anyway, Scott Bertram in for Steve. It's the Steve Gruber Show. At Steve Gruber Show on Twitter, stevegruber.com. Find me on Twitter at Scott Bertram, S-C-O-T-B-E-R-T-R-A-M. Let's hit some of these sound bites. If you were not watching the Democratic debate last night, and look, I can't blame you. It's highly unlikely you'll be voting for any of these people, either in the primary or in the general. But we should hear what they have to say, shouldn't we? So we know what we're fighting against. Some of the ridiculous things being said from the debate stage last night. All right, let's listen. Elizabeth Warren received the first question of the debate last night. Savannah Guthrie from NBC asking it. This is how the debate opened last night on NBC and MSNBC. Yes.
You have many plans: free college, free childcare, government health care, cancellation of student debt, new taxes, new regulations, the break of major corporations. Mm-hmm. But this comes at a time when 71% of Americans say the economy is doing well, including 60% of Democrats. What do you say to those who worry this kind of significant change could be risky to the economy?
So I think of it this way. Who is this economy really working for? It's doing great for a thinner and thinner slice at the top. It's doing great for giant drug companies. It's just not doing great for people who are trying to get a prescription filled. It's doing great for people who want to invest in private prisons, just not for the African Americans and Latinx whose families are torn apart, whose lives are destroyed, and whose communities are ruined. It's doing great for giant oil companies that want to drill everywhere, just not for the rest of us who are watching climate change bear down upon us. When you've got a government, when you've got an economy that does great for those with money and isn't doing great for everyone else, that is corruption, pure and simple. We need to call it out. We need to attack it head on.
Elizabeth Warren kicking off the debate last night with her answer to Savannah Guthrie. This is going to be, it's actually not a bad question because, again, the numbers that you heard and Savannah Guthrie gave us are pretty accurate, right? People generally think the economy is doing pretty darn well, with good reason. And Elizabeth Warren wants to propose all these massive changes to the economy, rolling back the Trump tax cuts. And how do you make that sale when people say, well, actually, doing pretty well? And I know she's saying, well, it's good for the people who want to fund private prisons, but not for everyday Americans. Well, everyday Americans are reflected in those poll numbers where people say, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. The economy? Damn good. It's going to be a big hurdle, I think, as if things remain the same or near the same economically toward 2020. Let's see. Beto O'Rourke doing battle here on insurance and banning private insurance as part of an insurance overhaul. O'Rourke won here.
Our plan says that if you're uninsured, we enroll you in Medicare. If you're insufficiently insured, you can't afford your premiums, we enroll you in Medicare. But if you're a member of a union that negotiated for a health care plan that you like because it works for
your
you and your family, you're able to keep it. We preserve choice by making sure that everybody has healthcare.
Time is up, Congressman, but I do want to ask a follow-up on this one. Just to be very clear, I'll give you 10 seconds. Would you replace private insurance?
No, I think the choice is fundamental to our ability to get everybody cared for.
Private insurance is not working for tens of millions of Americans. When you talk about the copays, the deductibles, the premiums, the out-of-pocket expenses, it's not working.
That's right. Those for whom it's not working, they can choose Medicare. For the culinary workers in Nevada,
you've got to start by acknowledging the system is not working for people.
They're able to keep them.
Why are you defending private insurance?
They like their private health insurance, by the way. It should be noted that 100 million Americans, I mean, I think we should be the party that keeps what's working and fixes what's broken. I mean, doesn't that make sense? I mean, we should give everyone in this country health care as a basic human right for free. Full stop. But we should also give them the option to buy private insurance. Why do we have to stand for taking away something from people? And also, it's bad policy. If you go to every hospital in this country and you ask them one question, which is, how would it have been for you last year if every one of your bills were paid at the Medicare rate? Every single hospital administrator said they would close. And the Medicare for All bill requires payments to stay at current Medicare rates. So to some extent, we're basically supporting a bill that will have every hospital close. I mean, my dad was a union electrician, right? I actually grew up in a working class family. He loved the health care that the IBEW gave him. And I just always think about my dad and anything I would do from a policy perspective. He'd look at me and he'd say, good job, John, for getting health care for every American. Why are you taking my health care?
I've let this play out a little bit because I'm fascinated to hear the daily.
It's John Delaney, by the way, at the end, making some sense. I have one big question. I'll tell you about it after the break that should be asked when these discussions about insurance reform come up. Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show.